अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद चनाद्यपि सुनिचेनाचरौर इव सहिष्णुना अमानिना मानजेन कीर्तनीय सदा हर हरे नाम हरेन्नामायव केवलम कलो नास्त्येव 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 गतिर अन्यथा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा Rama Rama Hare Hare. So I have been invited by the board members of this temple to speak today, and I have decided to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless or Amala Purana. Srimad Bhagavatam only talks about pure devotion, pure bhakti, shuddha bhakti. All other lesser religious concepts known as kaitava dharma, materialistic or cheating religions, is kicked out of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam was the order of Vyasadeva's spiritual master. Vyasadeva is known as Bhagavan Rishi, the incarnation of God as a saintly person. And he is worshipped every year on a particular full moon known as Guru Purnima, because Vyasadeva is the compiler of the Hindu religion. He has given the four Vedas, he has given 108 Upanishads, Itihasas, Mahabharata, 18 Puranas. But after even compiling his masterpiece, Vedanta Sutra, he was still not satisfied in the heart. And he had a hunch why that was so. And at that moment, his spiritual master came. So even if one is a Bhagavan, a representative or empowered personality, still one has to have the guidance of a spiritual master. Vyasadeva asked his spiritual master, Narada Muni, please find out the root cause of my dissatisfaction. The first thing Narada said was, are you identifying with your body and mind as the objects of self-realization? Because if that's the case, you will be frustrated. Then Narada began to explain that the reason Vyasadeva was not happy, even after compiling four Vedas, 108 Upanishads, 17 Puranas, Itihasas, Mahabharata, and even Vedanta Sutra, the reason why Vyasadeva was still not happy was because he forgot to describe Krishna and his service. And that is what Srimad Bhagavatam is. On the order of Narada Muni, Vyasadeva was instructed to compile Srimad Bhagavatam, 18,000 shlokas, describing Krishna, his devotees, and relationships between them. And what is the mission statement of Srimad Bhagavatam? One line. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Can everyone say that shloka? Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Excellent. So one of the first big lessons that is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, which appears in chapter 3. There are 335 chapters in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So in the third chapter, we find the discussion of six kinds of incarnations, six kinds of avatars. And Suta Goswami is narrating in a very quick summary form, giving 20 such avatars. But he did not specifically indicate whose avatars. And therefore the line, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. All these incarnations that I have explained, they are simply coming from Krishna. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. That the original source of all incarnations is Krishna. And by definition, Krishna himself has no source. He is the cause of all other causes. Nobody else can claim that. Only Krishna. Everybody else has a cause. But where does the buck stop? It stops with Krishna. That is actually the first statement of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, we are given the definition of the Absolute Truth. And Vyasadeva's opening shloka, that absolute, what's the first line? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. First thing, because his spiritual master said, hey, you have to describe Krishna properly, fully, completely. So that absolute truth is defined as the source of everything, the resting place of everything, and how everything is maintained or existing at present. That's the absolute truth. Everything comes from the absolute truth. Everything is situated on the absolute truth. And in the end, everything will enter into the absolute truth. That absolute truth is Svarat. Completely independent. You and I are not completely independent. We are limited independent or minutely independent. But Krishna is absolutely and completely independent. Then another word he uses, abhijna, omniscient, all-knowing. None of us can claim that we know everything. Otherwise, you wouldn't have had to go to school. And if you knew everything, everybody would be bothering you for stock market tips. But we don't know everything. But Vasudev, Krishna, Vyasadev says, abhijna, all-knowing. All-knowing past, present, and future. Krishna says same thing himself in Bhagavad Gita. I know everything that's happened in the past, all things that are happening now, and all things that are yet to come, but who knows me? That's the question. So, I have been in this temple for the past few Sundays that I've been coming. I have been speaking to you on a particular topic known as divinity and divine service. Divinity means that which deals with God. And divine service, we call that bhakti. Service. How can I prove love? We even have an expression in the English language, right? That example is better than precept. And also, let me show how I love. It should be shown. It should be demonstrated. That is what divine service is. It's a way to demonstrate how love is actually there. As we say, talk is cheap. Put your money where your mouth is. These are all American shlokas. So, divinity, divine service means we show our love for God. So, when I started these sets of classes a few months ago, I started with the teachings of Sutta Goswami, which begin the Srimad Bhagavatam. Sutta Goswami is in Naimisharanya, a holy place in India. The great sages have gathered. This is at the outset of Kali Yuga, when Krishna left this planet 5,000 years ago. On that day, Kali Yuga began. The saintly persons at that time were very much concerned about the welfare of the people who would live in Kali Yuga. That's us. So they did a 1,000-year sacrifice just for us. And so they gathered in this holy place of Naimisharanya. And their leader, the head of their society, their president, was Shaunaka Rishi, elderly, advanced. And they selected as their guru, Sutta Goswami. So Sutta Goswami was asked 6 questions. And so he begins to answer them one after the other. Those questions were very high caliber, dealing with what did Sutta learn as the highest truth? What was the purpose of Krishna's descent? And perhaps the most important question, what will people do in the age of Kali to get relief? Because the age of Kali is a most wretched time. So they wanted to know, what will people do in Kali Yuga to find hope, light, refuge? And that answer is coming up in the next chapter. That answer is Srimad Bhagavatam, which I am reading and narrating to you. Srimad Bhagavatam is for the people of Kali Yuga to get relief. We read the newspaper, we don't get relief. We read the newspaper, what happens? I become more disturbed. I turn on the television, doesn't matter what channel. After hearing the news for a half hour, I'm angry. When I see all the offenses, sins, hypocrite, lying, buffoonery, cheating, that's what the news is. I become more anxious. So Srimad Bhagavatam is where people in Kali Yuga can get relief. Just like if you're in a desert, there's only one thing you need, water. And they have what is called an oasis. The oasis means, finally, by God's grace, within this desert, there is some water. But there's also in the desert, the mirage. So both things are there in Kali Yuga. There's the mirage, which is known as television, newspaper, radio, and then there's the actual oasis, Srimad Bhagavatam. So Sutta Goswami is answering the questions of the sages of Naimisharanya, and where I left off in this class, because I do this once a month, most once a month. Sutta Goswami now will go further into understanding the Absolute Truth. Absolute Truth is distinguished from relative truth. Relative truth has two meanings. Relative truth means it is sometimes true, but not in all circumstances. Or relative truth, especially in terms of us, means it cannot exist independently. Its existence is relative upon something else for its existence. My favorite example, which is given in the Vedas, sun, sunlight. The sunlight is truth, but cannot stand by itself because it needs sun. So in this example, the sun can be considered absolute truth, and the sun rays the relative truth because they cannot stand independently. Same thing, Krishna is the absolute truth. We are relative truths. Why? We exist only because of Krishna's existence. We exist. And we learn from Bhagavad Gita, we always existed. So you could say, well, I'm absolute truth, I always existed. But still, our existence is not independent from Krishna's existence, like the sun ray cannot exist independent of the sun. They exist simultaneously, but still, one is dependent on the other, and not vice versa. So our existence, yes, it's eternal, it always was there, it's now, you know you exist now, just pinch yourself, you know you exist, and Bhagavad Gita says, by the way, you're always going to exist in the future, just not the existence that you see in the mirror, not that one, but you will exist individually, as a person, in the future. When I first learned this concept back in 1973, I became very, very exhilarated. I felt great. What? I'm always going to exist? That's great. So now, Sutta Goswami will help us understand more about the Absolute Truth. I've memorized this verse, so I'd like to chant the actual sloka. Vedanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yajjnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdyate. What does Sutta Goswami say? First he says, it's not my opinion. Learned transcendentalists, in other words, other authorities, They say, the Absolute Truth, Advayam, it's non-dual. That is the meaning of absolute, non-dual. This material world is a dualistic world. Good, bad. Man, woman. Right, wrong. Republican, Democrat. Heat and cold. So many dualities. And in the material world, there is a qualitative difference with the dualities. But the absolute truth is a non-dual substance. So Sutta Goswami is telling the sages, the absolute truth is a non-dual substance, but it is perceived in three progressive features. And how to understand this? So, imagine yourself on a train, say, in India. You're taking a train, and you're going to some location in the mountain. So, as the train is proceeding, you can see the mountain in the distance. So that is compared to Brahman, the first realization of the absolute truth. There's something. As the train gets further, you can now see different aspects of the mountain. A city, trees. You can see more detail because you're closer. That's compared to the second realization of the absolute truth, Param Atma, God in the heart. And that God, just so that you're sure, because there are many gods, but the God that's in the heart, that's Krishna. The job has been taken. So who's in your heart? It's Krishna. Then when you get off the train and you go into the village or town, get to your hotel or your friend's house where you're staying, that's considered the final stage of realization of the absolute truth, Bhagavan, the personality of God. Yes. Personality. In the Bhagavad Gita, we are studying at another monthly program that I'm doing. We are studying chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita and the opening question, Arjuna. Krishna, should I worship you impersonally or personally? Krishna's immediate response, you should worship my personal form. Then Krishna said, but if you prefer this impersonal path, yes, eventually you'll come to me. But last night we heard a word, klesha. Klesha means trouble. So Krishna told Arjuna that to follow the impersonal path is troublesome. Now, who in your life do you want to take the troublesome path or the easy, simple path? Right? Some people are stubborn. No, I want the difficult one. Just like if you're going to go, I've been to this place, Kuala Lumpur. So they have this very, very tall, it's one of the tallest buildings in the world. Yeah. So you could walk up if you want. Or what do everybody else does? And that elevator is very fast. Shoo. Or where I come from, New York, we have the Empire State Building. I think it's over 100 floors. There are people, because they want to, every year they run. Yeah, they want to show off that they're fit. That's up to you. But normally we always take the easy way. Just like you came to the temple. You wanted to find the quickest route, safest route. Not that you're going to go all the way around. No, that's human nature. You take the easiest, simplest, direct way to achieve your goal. So the absolute truth, Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan. One absolute truth, but depending on your realization, or you could say, depending on the process you pick to realize. So who realizes Brahman? That is the jnani, the speculator, the one who likes to use the mind. He can realize the first aspect, Brahman. The yogi, the one who actually does proper meditation, he gets to realize Paramatma. But it has to be done properly. And then who realizes Bhagavan? Bhakta, devotee. And we learn from Bhagavad Gita that you may not have realized Brahman, you may not have realized Paramatma, but if you become bhakta, you will realize all three when you realize Krishna. And, as I was just saying, Arjuna asked that question, and Krishna answered, my advice, my opinion, you should worship my personal form. And we also learn from Bhagavad Gita, in this path of being a bhakta, susukam. Not sukam, susukam. You all know what the word sukam, right? Pleasure, happy, easy. Now this is susukam. Very much. Not just teek, bilkul teek. That was the first word I learned when I went to Vrindavan in 1975. That was the first word I learned. Bilkul teek. I haven't learned much after that, but at least I learned one word. So this absolute truth is actually, so let's see what, so that's the first statement in today's section. Now let's see what Sutta Goswami says. The seriously inquisitive student, well equipped with knowledge and detachment, realizes that absolute truth by rendering devotional service in terms of what one has heard from the Vedanta Shruti. So there's a lot in this verse. The Srimad Bhagavatam, every shloka, there's a lot of information. Here is my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. His spiritual master spoke on the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam every day for 1 month and didn't repeat anything. He was demonstrating how succulent knowledge there is in Srimad Bhagavatam. So this next verse, the seriously inquisitive student. So that's the first prerequisite. If you want to understand the absolute truth, you have to be a seriously inquisitive student. This Srimad Bhagavatam is considered to be the author's own commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. Vyasadeva wrote Vedanta Sutra. Vedanta Sutra means where knowledge ends. What is the conclusion of real knowledge? So it is very difficult to understand Vedanta Sutra. So Bhagavatam is nothing but Vedanta Sutra explained so that we can understand. So the first statement of Vedanta Sutra, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Atato means therefore. That's a funny way to start a book. Therefore. Wait, you haven't said anything. Therefore is something you say after so many things have been stated. You don't start a class by saying, therefore. Huh? First you gotta say something. So, Vyasadeva starts Vedanta Sutra therefore, meaning, yeah, in order to read Vedanta Sutra, you should have had done the previous study, namely 108 Upanishads. Right? If you want to be a doctor or a lawyer, you have to do so many preliminary, or engineer, you have to do so many preliminary studies, then you can step up. So, Vyasadeva assumes if you're reading Vedanta Sutra, you already read the 108 Upanishads. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Therefore, since you now see yourself in this human form of life, your priority is inquiry into spiritual life, the absolute truth, Brahman. So, Sutta is saying, you want to realize this absolute truth, you have to be a seriously inquisitive student. Well equipped with knowledge, so that knowledge, he's not talking about material, mundane knowledge. No, real knowledge. Knowledge that is taught in the Vedas. In Bhagavad Gita, that kind of knowledge. Well equipped with knowledge and detachment. Detachment means I don't have any interest in enjoying this material world. Detachment. Detachment means nothing is mine. Just like I have been preaching to Indian community consistently, practically exclusively, since 1994. So I've been to hundreds of Indian homes. And my policy is, when I go to someone's home, I say, oh, very nice, you have a nice home. You have a nice altar. In every case, the family says, no, Prabhu, this is not my house. It is Krishna's house. That's detachment. Detachment means nothing is mine. Nirmamo, nirahankara. In Bhagavad Gita, those two words appear. Everything belongs to Krishna. Detachment is, practically speaking, one of the most important things you can learn as a progressive human being. A progressive human being is known as Aryan. A progressive human being is someone who has spiritual realization as priority. The other kind of person has material advancement as priority. So, detachment. Why did I say that it's one of the most important things you can learn? Because eventually, no matter what you have accumulated, you have to say goodbye. Either by circumstance or by realization, everyone will learn detachment. What's the opposite of detachment? Attachment. So, it is foolish. Hare Krishna. Jai Sri Sri Radha Raman Bhagavan Ki. It is foolish to be attached to anything in this material world because eventually you have to give it up. Say you're Bill Gates, Warren Buffett. You have billions. What's going to happen at the time of death? No. You cannot bribe Yamaraj. Hey, Yamaraj, how much you want? Give me another life. You may be attached to your family, but perhaps already you have experienced, like I've experienced. Your mother leaves, your father departs, or your children. You're forced to learn detachment against your will. You learn detachment even with your own body. We spend thousands of dollars taking care of this body. We spend thousands of dollars trying to keep it. But what happens? The mirror tells the story. Every day you look, ugh! Right? The people in Hollywood, right? They're spending millions of dollars to try to defeat old age. Millions of dollars. But it's a losing battle. What does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Time, I am. And time is not our friend. Because according to Bhagavad Gita, what is time doing? Destroying. We see it every day. We realize it. Another gray hair, another wrinkle, another ache, another pain. It's getting harder and harder. Then you see the young kids, they have so much energy, and you go, what happened to me? What? Yes. Time. Very cruel. Very, very cruel. So we are being forced to learn detachment. And trying to remain attached to anything that's ultimately going to be taken away is just foolishness. Therefore, the person who's serious about realizing the absolute truth is well equipped. So if you're an athlete, you're playing cricket, soccer, you need your equipment. So if you're a serious practitioner of the absolute truth, you need your equipment. Knowledge and detachment. Where do you get your knowledge? Guru, sadhu, shastra. So you need a spiritual master to guide you, to help you, to teach you. You need other saintly persons to answer questions, enthuse you, and then the focal point, the shastra. The shastra. And the very first thing I said today, Srimad Bhagavatam, Amala Purana, spotless. No mistakes. No mistakes. The seriously, so you have to become serious. Now, so if you're serious, you're equipped with knowledge and detachment, you realize the absolute truth. How? Devotional service. Bhakti. That is so familiar to anyone who's read Bhagavad Gita. Anyone who's read Bhagavad Gita knows that there are three direct statements by the speaker. Who's the speaker? Krishna. He says, you want to see me? Bhakti. You want to know me? Bhakti. You want to understand me? You want to come to me? Bhakti. Not karma, not jnana, and not other yoga. Bhakti is yoga. But any other yoga other than bhakti, at least that's what Krishna's I'm not saying. Krishna's saying. Sutta Goswami is saying the same thing. You will realize the absolute truth by rendering devotional service. And then he adds another thing. Rendering devotional service in terms of what one has heard from the Vedanta Sutra, meaning you can't make up your own bhakti. Can you make up your own driving code? If you get stopped by a policeman, hey, you were driving on the wrong side of the street. That is okay. I am following my own driving code. Doesn't work that way. You can't make up your own process. You can. You can do whatever you want. But you're not going to achieve success. There is a standard process. That standard process is taught in Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. Otherwise, there is another statement that if you try to render devotional service, but you don't do so in terms of the shastras, it becomes utpatyaiva, disturbance. It becomes a disturbance in society. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, therefore, I've come to the conclusion. I didn't start with therefore. So, rendering devotional service. There is a song that we like to sing, which explains this devotional service. Shravana kirtana smarana vandana pada sevana dasyare. Shravana kirtana smarana vandana pada sevana dasyare. Pujana sakhi janat mani vedana. Pujana sakhi janat mani vedana. Govinda das abhilashare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Bolo! So the first two items, there are 9 items on the bhakti menu. Bhakti is like a menu. So the first two of the 9, we are taught by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He says that the first two items are essential, like rice and dal. So, but some people don't eat rice anymore. But for me, rice and dal is... So, hearing and chanting. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu. The hearing and chanting is about God. So these two items are the essential items in this bhakti marg. So, you should know that if you want to progress, if you want to advance, all you have to do is improve and increase your hearing and chanting. And if you do it it is guaranteed you will see immediate results. A quick story, and then I'll finish up. During the time of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there was a person who was very envious. And because of his envy, he fell sick with cholera. So if you get cholera back then, you were dying. You were on your deathbed. So even though this person had blasphemed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his face, because he was the son-in-law of one of Lord Chaitanya's devotees, when Lord Chaitanya was informed, oh, Omoga is on his deathbed, Lord Chaitanya ran to deliver him. And Lord Chaitanya said to Omoga, Omoga, you are the son of a Brahmin. Why are you allowing the witches of jealousy and envy to sit in your heart? You are a Brahmin. Your heart is supposed to be clean. But, Lord Chaitanya said, but if you get up and chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Krishna will unfailingly deliver you. I love that word, unfailingly. Amoga did it, and he was delivered. And he thanked Lord Chaitanya, and then he started slapping his own mouth. He said, with this mouth, I blasphemed my deliverer. But the point that Lord Chaitanya was making, that if you chant this Maha Mantra, Krishna will unfailingly. I have been practicing this Bhakti Marg since 1973. Why do I continue? I'm not getting rich, I can tell you that. But I see how it actually works. I see the result. That is why I continue. I like how I am progressing. I like how my heart and mind feel by spending good, nice time hearing and chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. May Krishna bless you, protect you, and maintain you. Thank you very much. We get disconnected because we have minute independence. And we misuse that independence and choose to imitate Krishna rather than serve. If I keep myself always as Krishna's servant, I will never feel disconnected. But as soon as I have any slight inclination to want to not serve, but rather enjoy independently, I cut myself off. So, that minute free will is always there. So what is Krishna consciousness? Krishna consciousness is a moment-to-moment conscious choice to serve Krishna. That's it. There's a statement in Srimad Bhagavatam describing Maharaj Parikshit. He was always consciously surrendered to Krishna. So the choice is always there at every second. Therefore, good luck. May you always make the right decision. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Guruji.